Open my lips, Lord, to speak your words, and open our hearts to receive them. Amen. Please do sit down. So, Jesus says, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the spirit is spirit. How do you make decisions? Seems to me that there are three ways of making decisions. Firstly, the body decides. This is the decision that might be made when you see a pretty girl across a room and you embark on your campaign to woo her, regardless of all other considerations, like already being committed to someone else. Or it might be when you see an ice bun in the shop window, which you simply must have, even though you've just had lunch. Or you fail to cross the road to greet a neighbour because, well, they seem from a distance to be a bit different. Or when you dangerously cut up the person you've been following forever on a narrow road, waving your fist as you pass them because they've been driving so slowly. Or they're one that lawyers like, particularly I used to be a lawyer for the baptismal party, because they can hear the cash register ring. It's when you instruct a lawyer with the magic words, I'm going to sue him, it's a matter of principle. Ka-ching. Lust, greed, fear and anger. The body, or our emotions, our desires, is calling the shots. The body is deciding our destiny. So one way of making decisions is for the body to decide. Secondly, another way of making decisions, and this will be the one that everyone will claim to be how they decide things, the mind decides. You're faced with a decision. You coolly weigh up the pros and the cons. You list them down on a piece of paper. You work out what could possibly go wrong. You work out the upsides of taking a risk, how you can mitigate the risks, and you factor that into your thinking. You get advice from your advisors. You offer a price for the house, the business, the investment, which takes into account all those things. What you're doing is rational, reasonable, sensible, thought through. The mind is deciding. So the first way of making decisions, I think, is for the body to decide. The second way of making decisions is for the mind to decide. The third way of making decisions is for the spirit to decide. For the Holy Spirit to decide. Instead of allowing your body free rein or analysing what's sensible when you're faced with a decision, you pray. You ask your Christian friends to pray too. What should I do? As you read the Bible in your daily quiet time, you read with this particular issue at the forefront of your mind, and then you watch to see how the Lord responds in the circumstances that follow. And then so often, in my experience, you notice something and it hits you in the chest. Something says something very unexpected, which strikes you as relating to the conundrum you face. You read something in the Bible which seems to stand out to you and is relevant. Or out of the blue, something extraordinary happens, which seems to speak into the situation, which seems to confirm the direction that you should go. And this has happened so often in our lives and in the lives of our friends. Something of this kind prompted me to leave the law partnership I was in 2005. Something of this kind prompted us to sell our house in Kilmerston in 2015 and to move to the Itchen Valley. Something of this kind prompted Tim Clapp, who's just gone out to the Ark. He prompted him, as he said last Sunday, to cross the road like the Good Samaritan, to engage with his neighbour after seeing him at a distance for 3 years. A neighbour who was of a different generation and with whom Tim had previously assumed he'd have nothing in common. This is the Holy Spirit deciding. The Holy Spirit joining in and being part of our lives. The Holy Spirit setting the compass for our direction of travel. When Jesus says to Nicodemus, What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. He's highlighting the difference between how we make decisions. If we're making them driven by the body, the mind, or the spirit. When we decide according to the body, most people in the world will think that we are foolish. When we decide according to the mind, most people in the world will think that we're sensible. When we decide in accordance with the spirit, most people in the world will think we are mad. You see, we can all agree in the cool light of day that deciding things in accordance with the screaming demands of the body is clearly foolishness. The sort of thing that results in regrets later when you're sober, results in Las Vegas weddings, the obesity problem, road rage persecution, prosecutions, dysfunctional neighbourhoods. We can all see that this is foolishness. Decisions taken according to the mind look very reasonable, measured, considered, sensible, rational. This is the sort of way that the lawyer Nicodemus would have been used to making decisions. But Jesus is saying that decisions made entirely in the mind don't necessarily take account of the whole picture. Because, verse 3, you can't even see the whole picture if you've only been born of the flesh and not of the spirit. You cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you are born again of the spirit. Decisions of the spirit make no sense to those who are dominated by the flesh. And the mind is really as much flesh as the body. It's part of the natural created world. Whereas the spirit operates out of an entirely different dimension. The supernatural, the timeless, beyond creation, the Alpha and Omega. The spirit operates from the perspective of being able to see the beginning and the end. We only get glimpses of this other dimension, this world of the kingdom of God, which is just as real as the world that we live in from day to day, and the battles that go on there for our souls between the forces of good and evil continually affect what happens in the tangible, the perceived world around us. But many of us cannot see what the Holy Spirit is doing, or even where the boundaries of the kingdom of God lie. In verse 8, Jesus gives the analogy of the wind. Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." So obviously, from the perspective of people in the first century Palestine, the wind was an entirely unpredictable, operating by rules which were a mystery. Jesus is saying we cannot see the Holy Spirit. We don't know his motivations, where he's coming from. We can only see his effect, the wind as we feel it. So making decisions in accordance with what we perceive as the guidance of the Holy Spirit involves a lot of trust, because we don't know the outcomes when we make these decisions. And making decisions on this basis make no sense at all to the sensible. But decisions motivated by the Spirit, which are born of the Spirit, give birth to the Spirit, to life-transforming, boundless blessings for us and for others. Just as the decision we took to leave the law firm in 2005 on really good terms looked like incredible wisdom, prescience, in fact, in 2008, when so many partners were summarily fired during the financial crisis, and led to my very unexpected ordination in 2012. Just as the move here from Kilmerston completely revolutionised our ministry here and made it possible for me to be a candidate for this job as rector, which is so rewarding and enjoyable for us, a job which was not at all in prospect or sought when we made that decision. Just as the brave decision that Tim took to cross the road to meet Frank resulted in discovering that he was a great friend of Tim's grandfather, who'd been looking for him for 20 years. Decisions made in the Spirit have been shown to give birth to the Spirit in a way which we couldn't possibly perceive when we made them and seemed crazy to everyone else at the time. And so we come to our baptismal candidate. Alexander. What a fantastic name that is. We can think as parents that we've done a very good job of parenting. If a child has developed by the time they are adults to his or her full potential physically and intellectually, the body and the mind. But I would suggest that it's equally important, if not more important, to develop a child spiritually. In a world where so many teenagers and young adults have lost any sense of purpose, the purpose or meaning of life, with disastrous consequences, the urgency and the heavy responsibility of parents and godparents to develop their child spiritually could not be more urgent and could not be more important. And I recognise that this may involve taking responsibility for our own spiritual development as well, by investigating the claims of Jesus Christ and looking at the evidence for his life, death, and resurrection. Today at Alexander's baptism, there is more going on than meets the eye. A baptism's like an iceberg. There's more to it under the surface than you can see. We're going to light a little pilot light in Alexander, in his heart, which, if encouraged by Chris and Phillida and his godparents Gemma and Hartley, will, I'm certain, enable that pilot light to fire up like a gas boiler as he grows up, and will result in him being an incredible blessing to all he comes into contact with. Because the Holy Spirit ignited in him today will give birth to spirit, and we can expect that God will work through him to transform the world. Amen.